For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Here it comes again, lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
第15回 春の最強戦士決定戦ニュージャパンカップ史上最多32名のエントリーとなった2019年春の祭典新鋭ベテランヤングライオンジュニアヘビーもここに集結新日本の猛者が出揃った負けたら終わりのトーナメント戦1週間に及ぶ過酷な戦いを勝ち抜き春男の称号を手にするのは果たしてそしてニュージャパンカップ覇者を待ち受ける次なるステージはアメリカニューヨークマディソンスクエアガーデンのメインイベント
Welcome back, everybody, to Wrestling Omakase. It is episode number 88, and this week I am very pleased to be joined by a first-time guest. Hello, Lorian.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on. I always like having on new guests, and you're someone I followed on Twitter for a while. I don't even remember why I originally followed you.
Same.
I think it might have been your. You had like a Kenny Omega cosplay that looked kind of cool.
Maybe. Oh, that was... yeah, that's yes, I did do that.
Yeah, which is like. there's probably some listeners being like, really? That's why.
Well, if they think mine is weird, they should have seen my friend who's at NecroPants on Twitter, who was cosplaying Marty Skrull, and she wore a bikini but also a fake beard. So she confused a lot of people that day.
I just meant the comedy of like people. I think I have this rep now as a Kenny hater. So people.
That's right.
Like last year, I got when I did that feedback form. Like one of the some guy complained basically like, "Oh, you have a lot of your guests from New Japan really skew on the LIJ side." Mm-hmm. But here you go. It only took me after Kenny leaving to bring a Kenny guest on.
And finally. Then you decided. Well, I obviously am a fan and I don't hate him at all, but I also am not one of those people who gets really angry if you criticize him, because I think a lot of the criticisms definitely have some merit.
Yeah. And I've lost a lot of followers.
I wouldn't unfollow people for something like that.
But you also do like LIJ and a lot of the same wrestlers I like. So maybe that's why we've lasted so long.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the main thing, I always like to start with new guests and ask them, first of all, how they got a background in wrestling, like how they got started with wrestling fandom, and then specifically what today's topic being New Japan, how you got into New Japan.
Okay. Well, so I started watching wrestling in about 2016, maybe, because my boyfriend has always liked it. Like, he's been a fan since he was a kid, and we moved to Columbus, Ohio, where I live now. And I was in school, I was in grad school. And a lot of my classes were online. And so I'd be working at home a lot and I get kind of stressed out. And he really got into watching NXT at that time. And this is the time when Sami Zayn was champion and who was big at the time, like Kevin Owens was just coming in. And he would kind of watch it and I would sort of be like around when it would be on. And I started getting into it, you know? So that was the first time I looked at it as something that I actually wanted to follow and pay attention to. So that happened. And for maybe a year or so, I followed NXT with him. And then I started following WWE main roster stuff. And then New Japan. The first time I ever saw it was Wrestle Kingdom 9. And he just told me, this is this thing they have in Japan. And it's really big and cool. Let's watch it. So that was the one where I'm going to get something wrong and I'm going to sound really dumb. I know that Kenny Omega was fighting Taguchi, and that was when he was doing the really, really terrible, corny, like chainsaw arm, you know, over the top type stuff. And I'm a big, I like a lot of pomp and circumstance. What's the word I'm looking for? A lot of camp. And so I thought that was really funny and fun. And
there's a good word for that. Yeah.
Right. And Shinsuke in the big, with the crown and the big cape and everything. And that was the first time I ever saw him. And I just like went crazy. I loved it so much. So
yeah, that's the Nakamura Ibushi match, which is still one of my favorite matches.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So that was one of the first New Japan show I ever saw was that one. And I was just like knocked off my feet. So I watched New Japan on and off since then. The first time when I started really following it, I believe, was the G1 2 years ago. Like, not this past one, not the one before, but the one before that. I knew very little about New Japan other than just a few people I'd seen that I liked. But we got a subscription to New Japan World and we decided to watch the entire G1. And so by the end of it, I knew a lot. And I've just kind of been hooked on it since then.
So your first thing was the one I went to. Wow. That's kind of cool.
Oh, were you there in person?
Yeah,
when
Naito won it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's amazing.
It was pretty cool.
That's amazing.
I mean, and the only thing that sucked was just, it was so fucking hot in Japan. But,
oh, yeah, I hear that.
it was worth it, but.
Wow.
But yeah, so New Japan, pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So do you still watch, I only ever really see you tweet about New Japan nowadays. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else you do. Is there anything else you really watch right now?
I don't really keep up with a lot. If I go to Ring of Honor fairly often because they come to where I am a lot. So I see them live more often than I actually watch them on TV, but I kind of keep up
with
like,
what's going on. That's like everybody now, I think.
Right.
Like, right. So many people are like, well, I go to Ring of Honor when they're around, but I never watch them.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm actually going to go to SmackDown next week. And I haven't watched WWE in some time, but again, they're coming really close and the tickets are pretty cheap. I feel like I have to make an excuse. Like, don't touch it. I'm going to SmackDown.
I mean, at least it's not Raw, I guess. I think my last, the last ever WWE show I went to live was a SmackDown taping in like 2008.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just so brutal that I guess I just never went back.
Yeah, but, and the thing is, it was kind of a, our friend, it's going to be in Dayton, Ohio, where NecroPants lives. And I'm sure they wouldn't mind me using their name, but I don't want to. So I'm just going to, you know, say that, even though it's weird. Anyway, so it was coming through. We decided it might be a fun thing. And then I started thinking, oh, Shinsuke's on SmackDown. So I thought, God, if I see Shinsuke, it'll be worth it. I don't care. And now I'm looking at what's going on. I'm like, I'm probably not even going to see Shinsuke.
Yeah. We'll like, does he still get TV spots?
He was on TV. Oh my God. I think he's teaming with Rusev. Yeah. And he has a match against a couple of the New Day at Fastlane. So I don't know if he's going to be on TV or not, but we'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of, I don't know. I don't, I wouldn't mind maybe going to just see what the fuck it's been like. It's just been so long now that it just feels like, well, why restart doing this?
But, right. Well, I just, I mean, also, I think a lot of people probably agree when I just say I like to watch wrestling, especially live. And even if it's not something, you know, I go to, there are indie shows I go to around here where I don't know anybody and I'm still excited to watch wrestling. So,
yeah.
You know.
But all right, so let's transition then into the past week of news. The past week of New Japan. Start off with the anniversary show, which when I first like started thinking about this episode, I was just like, wow, that was like Wednesday, but it feels like it's been a million years.
Yeah, it does.
So you know. But yeah, that was this past Wednesday. I woke up for this at 5 a.m. before I went to work, which I haven't done that in a while. I just was like, I was so convinced that Hiromu was coming back.
Oh, I know. I stayed off Twitter cause I didn't wake up for it, but I didn't want to get spoiled. And then I was convinced too. I was fully convinced.
Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, there was like another very obvious reason why Dragon Lee was booked
that
we should have seen, but none of us followed.
Blinded by hope.
Yeah. But this was a good show. I enjoyed it. Even though, you know, I was not nearly as high in the main event as some people. You know, I had a good time by the end. So let's see. The opener, the Bullet Club against the team of Makabe, Yano, and the Young Lions, Yoshida, Umino, and Narita. Here's a cool question, because I have somebody on here who liked the Elite / Bullet Club. What do you think of the Bullet Club now?
I like the Bullet Club now better in terms of like them fitting into New Japan, because that was the thing that really turned me on them, which I think a lot of people kind of got tired of their how they were booked and them just kind of, you know, inserting themselves into everything. And I don't need to I don't need to see the Young Bucks anymore. So I like it better. I mean, I like those people, but I like them better off doing something else and Bullet Club in New Japan being more like this. So
yeah, I like Taiji a lot. Like I think his whole gimmick and has been great and his work has been really good. Jay White, I'm like Jay White agnostic, I guess. I don't know.
Same,
like people getting these really like brutal Jay White arguments online just like, I don't know. I don't feel strongly about this man either way. Like he's fine. I don't really I'm not a big fan.
Kind of how I feel too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very odd. But yeah, the rest of the unit I could really take or leave. And this match was kind of like, you know, it was aggressively fine, but
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, there was nothing here that I was that into.
Yeah, I like this is the first time I had seen Fale with his general persona as opposed to I don't know if being a general I suppose is a promotion from being the underboss, but. Yeah. He doesn't have anyone to be underboss to anymore, I guess. So now he's the general.
He's so serious about this that he even like dropped his theme because it says underboss, I guess.
Oh, that's right. It does.
I just comes out to the Bullet Club theme.
Good commitment there.
Yeah.
Attention to detail.
There's a promotion. Not going to have my theme song undercut me. Match two, Ishii and Yoshihashi defeating Towa Hanare and Yuji Nagata. Yoshihashi against Kumagaroshi. That's what he calls that friggin' butterfly lock, I guess. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
So he tapped him out in 12-09. That move is like my least favorite move in wrestling. It just never looks good. It always looks like Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, sorry. I've heard that opinion from people as well. Yeah.
It's very, I don't know. It looks like he's hugging him. It just doesn't look like
it's a very aggressive hug.
Yeah. But yeah, this was fun just as far as like Ishii and Nagata trading blows.
Yeah.
Like a good little preview of their tournament match.
That's exactly what I wrote. Because the crowd was really excited for Ishii and Nagata. And then Nagata starts to do his Blue Justice, you know, moment, and Yoshihashi comes in and pushes him off, and it was just this huge, huge booze. And I thought, like, I haven't heard the crowd be that involved in, you know, Yoshihashi and Nagata like ever. So that was cool.
Yeah. There was one point in the match, my favorite thing was because Yoshihashi's like, I guess, such a dork. Yuji Nagata just completely no-selled his kicks and just like casually like slapped him in the face and threw him out of the ring like he was a bag of crap. That was pretty funny.
Yep.
He was just like, yeah, I'm not selling for you. Get the fuck out of my face.
As opposed to Hanare, who really just did a full 360 flip from Yoshihashi's lariat. That was intense.
Match number three was the 10-man tag. Suzuki-gun against Kojima, Honma, Tiger Mask, Taguchi, and Dragon Lee. Mm-hmm. Taguchi pinned Taka at 11:05 the Dodon. This was really fun for while it lasted. I just thought it was a really, it was a fun contrast watching Suzuki-gun two matches after Bullet Club, because Suzuki-gun, they're trying the same stuff, but they're just so much better at it. Like the heel brawling and the heel work. I just thought they were, you know, it was like a fun little contrast, and they're just a lot better of a heel unit than Bullet Club.
Yeah,
agreed. But yeah, this was fun. Suzuki and Kojima had a really cool exchange in here, I thought.
I really enjoyed watching Suzuki and Kojima because they're going to be first round against each other in the next show, right?
Yeah, tomorrow. Yep.
Right. So a lot of these are about putting together people in multi-mans who are going to be in the cup. And I also thought that Dragon Lee looked really cool. And it was kind of a good way to be like, Dragon Lee is here. Look, without, you know what I mean? Without having to have him do a whole lot. He just showed well.
Yeah, he got the like German desperado and did a crazy dive on everybody.
Did a big tope, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was a fun match. Match number four, the IWGP Junior Tag Team titles, Roppongi 3K, defeated Shingo and Bushi in just under 17 minutes of 3K. Mm-hmm. Why don't you start this one? What'd you think?
Well, I feel like I am coming off like I don't like LIJ because I admitted to being a Kenny and Bullet Club fan kind of back in the day. And now, even though I do love LIJ a lot, I really, really, really love Roppongi 3K. And so I have to admit I was sort of rooting for them, even though I also love Bushi and Shingo because I just really like them. And I thought that this match personally probably was my favorite of the show, maybe. I thought that they did a really good job. Bushi and Shingo are kind of like small, fast guy and big, strong guy, and Sho and Yo to a lesser degree are sort of small, fast guy and big, strong guy. And I think they worked that really well in the match.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed by this. I thought it was good. I went like 3.5 stars on it, but I just didn't. I don't know. It's more just like I have standards for the two teams. I thought it'd be better, but they're probably gonna have another match on the Dontaku tour that I assume will be. Maybe they'll top this one. But
yeah. I get very invested in certain characters, which I think is fine, and I think it's an aspect of wrestling that sometimes can get lost, depending on if you're more likely to focus a lot on I don't know, like athleticism or something. But it also, if I'm watching these two teams that I really like, I'm so excited to see them that I'm easy to please always, and especially if I'm watching some of my faves. So
yeah, that's fair. The next match was my favorite match of the night, which was Taiji Ishimori. Yeah,
my other favorite.
And Jushin Thunder Liger for the junior heavyweight title. Yeah, this was fucking awesome. I don't know. Like, first of all, Taiji Ishimori, I officially think it's time to like dump look on the haters for Ishimori because it's like, I still see him getting a lot of, he gets a lot of weird hate and, you know, it was like, oh, this isn't a good character for him, or he doesn't have the charisma. And I just think, I think he's proved exactly the opposite so far. I think he's pretty much killed it in every major opportunity he's had. And I think he's really like settled into this like heel junior ace character really well. And, you know, he's coming off a 4-star match with Taguchi, and then here I went 4.25. I just think he's having an awesome little run. I think he was great here with his, like, you know, his selling against Liger and his athleticism. I just thought he was awesome. And Liger, you know, Liger put on the kind of performance he puts on generally when he gets put in these big spots. I don't know how he does it, but it was amazing.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know that I've ever seen a, I mean, I've watched old matches, but as far as like since I've been watching and keeping up with current stuff, seen a Liger match that was really hyped and where he had like a lot of push, you know, and he was really featured. And it was really, really exciting to see him like doing what he does and having a lot of like time and, you know, focus on him to do it. It was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, he, you know, what it wasn't like this was, you know, I wouldn't call it like a classic Liger performance because he was just so good in his day that, like, you know, it just can't really compare. But it was still a great performance by him, just given his age and everything. So, you know, we would find out the day after that he's retiring, which is like, talk about going out on top.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I really don't think it's likely I'm going to see him in the next year, but I would like to if I had the chance.
Is there any chance you can go to the Honor Rising shows? I don't know where they are, but not Honor Rising, whatever the fuck they're called. The War of the Worlds.
We're not going to go to War of the Worlds, but we were thinking about trying to go to Global Wars later this year. So I'll just maybe have to see what happens.
Maybe he'll be there, yeah.
Maybe.
I assume I'm going to see him either at Best of Super Juniors or Dominion.
Right.
And then maybe, oh, he'll probably be on the Garden. He'll probably be in Dallas.
Yeah.
So. I'm kind of spoiled.
You're going there or no?
I'm going to Dallas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, are you going to the Garden?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to the Garden. Yeah.
Okay. I thought so. I thought so.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. All I've made it to is the New Japan show in Nashville, which was lovely, but was also marred by the visa situation. So.
Yeah. I think, was that the last one? I think that's the one I haven't seen.
Yes. Yeah. Nashville was the last one.
Did you enjoy that show? Might as well talk about it briefly.
I did enjoy it a lot because I think the people who were there really had the motivation to knock it out of the park. And I felt like I wanted to give them a very open, positive mindset coming to the show because I knew just from what people had said on Twitter and just generally imagining they probably felt a little, you know, like, oh, no one wants to see me. I'm not a, you know. So it was really good. I really, really was impressed with the LA Dojo trainees. They were amazing.
Yeah. I did watch the LA show and the Charlotte show on demand. I didn't quite get to the Nashville show before 10,000 shows started happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did finally put them up. If you don't know, people listening, you know, over a month after they put them up finally. So.
Yeah, I'd recommend checking it out if you get a chance, because I still thought it was an extremely fun and solid show. I really liked the Great Okarn. I hadn't even thought about him in ages.
Such a silly gimmick.
Oh, this guy. And then the match was great, and he was really fun. And I was like, okay.
Who's he facing?
Oh, God.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I'm on the spot now, and I can't think. I'm sorry.
Great Okarn cage match. Tell me who you're facing. Let's see.
Oh, wait, was it Jeff Cobb?
Oh, you got one? No, it wasn't Jeff Cobb. It was Harlem Bravado.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, it was really good.
But back to the anniversary show. Semi-main. Tanahashi, Okada, and Hirooki Goto defeated Naito, Evil, and Sonata in 12:58. Goto pinned Sonata with the Goto Shiki. I love when he breaks that fucking move out. It's just such a great... I mean, I'm kind of a mark for flash pins in general, and like that just looks like such a great pin. It's like I totally buy that this man cannot kick out of this move. We forgot to mention too, Dragon Leech came out and challenged, challenged Taiji after the Junior title match.
Yeah.
I wish it was still a singles match. I wish it wasn't a three-way at Bandito, but what are you gonna do?
Yeah, same.
But yeah, so the six-man good stuff, kind of, you know, kind of like basic, kind of fun stuff. But
yeah, Naito and Tana kept leg locking each other, and I kept thinking neither one of them have knees. It made me really worried.
they really don't.
I wanted them to ease up on each other a little bit, but clearly that was going to happen.
But yeah, I thought the Sonata Goto exchanges were fun, and that made me excited for their match, which some of you may have seen by the time you listen to this, but that'll be tomorrow from when we're recording. And then we got the post-match with Okada, the cutest thing ever with Okada
calling
Tanahashi Senpai. That was that was adorable.
But, yes, and it also sounded to me, I am sure he didn't, or I didn't understand, but it sounded like Goto said itadakimasu, and I choose to believe he said that he was going to eat the New Japan Cup. And that's not a bad joke, it just sounded like that's what he said to me.
When Okada did, it was after he beat Elgin, when he did, like, Tadaima or whatever. Or like, and Milano on commentary was like, welcome home.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, so we got very weeb there for a second. But the semi-main, good stuff. Mm-hmm. We had the big thing at the end with everybody saying they were going to win. And Naito just kind of like, I love the camera shot to Naito sitting on the floor because it's classic Naito. He's like, I'm not getting in the ring with you people. And just like grinning to himself. It's like that if you need to explain Tetsuya Naito's character to anybody, that's it.
Absolutely.
He's the weirdo sitting on the floor grinning. But then the main event, Will Ospreay and Jay White, 29:07, Jay White won with the Blade Runner. I don't know. How'd you feel about this match? Let's start with you again.
I like you said before, I'm kind of Jay White agnostic. And I wasn't particularly excited because neither of these people really light me on fire, so to speak. I thought it was fine, but this is also a really long show and I think I may have been getting a little tired. So I don't have anything to say about it, like standout wise.
Here's I'm going to like plug somebody who was a former guest on the show, Emily Pratt. She did a review of this match and I really just agree with a lot of what she said. So if you haven't read that review, check it out. But like, I, you know, it was good. You know, I would go like, you know, like 3.5 or something. But like, I saw people going 4+ and just, it never clicked for me like on that level. And there's, you know, the few major issues. I thought, first of all, Will was very much on his shit when it came to like the fucking Shakespearean selling of the ring.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Emily had a great line in that review where she said, like, his selling here made her want to see New Japan go to full Nokiism, which I thought was really funny. But like, yeah, I mean, like, it was just way too much. And like, I get it. And I get it with Will, and that's just kind of his thing, but like, it just didn't, you know, it really took me out of the match.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of notes, but one of my notes is Will growls really dumb.
And then, I don't know, like, and then the Gato stuff really left me cold, too. I just kind of feel like the IWGP champion should be able to beat the NEVER champion without needing his manager.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, and I agreed again to plug Emily again. She said it went way too long for a non-title match, and I would agree. Like, I think they would have been really a lot better going 20 here than 29.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. It definitely was longer than it needed to be, for sure.
But... then we got like a fun little post-match angle where White was beating the shit out of Ospreay and Ibushi came to save him. Yep. So that was kind of cool. And then, you know, we had everybody running out to save. First, the Bullet Club beat up Ibushi, and then everybody else from before ran out to save Ibushi. And that was pretty much it. So fun show overall.
Yep.
Maybe would have been a little better with a main event that clicked a little more, but still a good show.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can move on then to the New Japan Cup. Now, as we're recording this on Sunday, March 10th, which is when I plan to release it as well. But by the time some of you hear this, it'll probably already be the 11th. So we've seen the first three nights of the Cup, the, you know, 12 of the 16 first round matches. So that's what we'll be talking about mostly here. First of all, what do you think of the expansion of 32? Were you behind this, or were you one of the people who didn't like it?
I was fine with it. I'm not very good at math, so I thought,
wait, is it going to take them twice as long to do the cup now? And then I realized, no, wait, it's just an extra round. So no, that's okay. So I was fine with it. I feel like sometimes you run the risk of there being people when it's so big, there being people in it that kind of feel like filler people. And I guess there is some of that. But overall, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, most of the filler people to me are like people who I actively enjoy seeing get bigger spots than they normally get, like all the dads and stuff.
Yes,
so
yes.
That to me is why it was good. Okay, so the first night at Cork and Hall, I did see the undercard of this one. The only thing I would mention as a highlight, if you didn't see it, is the sixth man with the Bushi Goto and Sho against Naito, Sonata, and Shingo was really good.
Yes, that like was one that I do want to go back and watch.
As good of a 10-minute match as you're going to get. So the first round match was Nakanishi and Yoshihashi. Which Yoshihashi won in 12:26 with the butterfly lock. Oh, I guess that's not what he calls it because here they wrote butterfly lock. So I don't know what the lucky one was. But this was good. I really find the people who like are so offended by Nakanishi in the ring like really kind of annoying. It's like this old man who can barely move is trying the hardest you possibly can. Like if you can't find that even a little bit charming, like. Absolutely. Like, calm down. It's not that serious. And he was great here. He couldn't get over the top rope on that dive.
Yes.
On the apron.
That was so good.
Like, he's trying as hard as he can. Like, give the man a fucking break. And he still has that weird presence. And he still has, like, the facial expressions. And he still has great timing. I mean, I will watch Nakanishi all day long. I don't care. The haters can calm down.
Yeah, no, same. And I mean, almost same for Yoshihashi. And then he is trying really hard. And if you can't appreciate that, then just take a second, you know?
Well, sometimes he's trying hard. Sometimes it feels like he's not trying hard. But I did like that Nakanishi like kind of stormed. Nakanishi got like a visual pin on Yoshi in this match. Mm-hmm, he got the pin with the ref down. And I just like the idea of him like backstage just like being like, well, if I have to lose to Yoshihashi, I am getting a visual pin on this man.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
But yeah, this was good. 3.25. Mm-hmm. Good match. I enjoyed it. The next match. All right. Here's where we're going to have a rant.
Okay.
Taichi and Tomoaki Honma.
All right.
Taichi won in 1754 with the Holy Emperor's Crucifix Tome. That's what he's calling that now.
He's calling it what?
That's what he's calling
the Holy Land.
So he's calling the stretch plum apparently the Holy Emperor's Crucifix Tomb.
God, I love Taichi.
Yeah, he's something. All right, so here's what I have to say about Taichi.
Okay.
Because there were some people in my mentions the other day. One guy really, but these people are all over Twitter if you look. Mm-hmm. If you can't go through life accepting the other people like different wrestlers and different things in general than you, and it doesn't mean they're quote unquote pretending or having a laugh or trolling, then you need to calm the fuck down.
Wow.
That's like a 12-year-old viewpoint. Like, it's cool if you don't like Taichi. If you don't like Taichi, I really don't give a shit, honestly. Right. But these people who claim that anyone who enjoys Taichi and anyone who enjoys Taichi matches are like, you know, somehow engaged in like a massive conspiracy to defraud. Like, these people are out there. It's just amazing to me. Like,
wow.
People who like Taichi just like Taichi. Okay.
Well, this huge conspiracy theory. We all got together and decided to pretend to like Taichi for no real benefit to us.
Yes. I mean, this is literally what people, someone was arguing this in my mentions the other day. And I'm like, just accept that people like different wrestlers than you do. It's really not that hard.
So
this match is fucking awesome.
I loved it.
It was, I mean, I always love Taichi anyway, but Honma had way more in the tank here than I was expecting.
Yep.
It felt to me like he, I don't know if maybe he turned a corner in his recovery because like he was moving a lot better than he's moved since he came back. Not just here in the tag match the next night too. So maybe he just finally has more movement on the other side of his body. Like that other side of his body looked like weirdly stiff for a while and, you know, very scary. But now it looks like he's actually moving around a lot better. So
yeah.
really good news there for Home. I hope he keeps it up. But yeah, this was, I went 4 stars on this. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'm not trolling anybody. No. I'm not pretending. I fucking love this match. Mm-hmm. It was just a bully heel beating the shit out of another guy. Honma took some.
Just Tai Chi beat a big shitlord. Like,
yes, that's exactly what he does. Mm-hmm. You know, Honma broke out that sit out fire thunder driver mm-hmm. he used to do. That was awesome. And then Tai Chi, like, Honma took some amazing bumps in this match. Like, he took that backdrop towards the end. I was just I was very scared for him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like,
yeah, I do feel like everyone else feels, which is stop landing on your neck, stop doing Kokeshis. I know that's your thing, but God, please.
he even brought back that diving Kokeshi to like a seated dude. That was really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, this went almost 18 minutes. I saw some people say it went too long, but to them I say it did not. It went just enough time.
I say you are wrong.
It was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, and I like how, correct me if I'm wrong, but Tai Chi has inherited the Iron Fingers and is making a big deal about carrying them around, but does have yet to use them, right?
Yeah, he hasn't used them yet. Nope.
Okay, I'm waiting for him to use them and fully backfire on him. Yeah, you know it's coming.
But yeah. He's been carrying. I like he also enters through the crowd now, which I think is also like an Izuka tribute. So
maybe cool. I like that. Yeah. I'm fully with you. I really, really enjoyed that match a lot just because of, like you said, a super mean bully, just like laughing shithead heel. And then I feel like a lot of the first round matches have been variations on that someone going in and going, this is going to be an easy win. I just have to knock this guy out of the way first. And then, oh, wow, he's actually a bigger, like harder to beat than I thought he would be. And so, lots of different ways of doing that. And this was one of those.
Yeah. And like Tai Chi was great here, just selling the idea that like this man could actually beat him. And then at the end, when he grabs his fucking head and like, you think he's going to tell him like, you know, good job or something, but he just fucking laughed in his face and like drops him. And I had to give Don Callis credit on commentary, just goes like, oh, real class act. And Kevin Kelly's like, there's a lot of things to describe Tai Chi, but class act might be as far away as possible. So
that's not one of them.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Yep.
So Juice and Chase was next. This went 24-36. Chase pinned Juice with the package pile driver. First of all, I have to eat my crow on this one. I did write in the preview on voicesofwrestling.com that Chase was gonna, my exact quote was, have fun taking that there Pulp Friction Chase. And he fucking screenshotted it.
I was like, well, okay, fair play to you, sir.
I mean, some people thought he was like, I don't know, like legitimately angry or something. And it's like, no, there was a smiley face in the tweet. I really don't think I think he was just fucking playing. But anyway, so I got to Chase Owens. Congratulations. You got
good
me.
Good job, buddy.
One.
Yeah, that definitely like made my bracket wrong. In the third round, because I didn't see that coming.
And I have to go ahead and give credit to Damon from the Super J-Cast on this network, who last week was on Omakase for the, for the preview. And of the New Japan Cup, and he was the only guy to pick Chase, not just to win here, but to go. He picked him to go all the way to the quarterfinals, and we all quite literally laughed at him. And I have to tell it. We have to all not just me, like three other people on the show were all like, oh, I don't know about that one. So we all gotta eat some crow here. And Damon,
Chase is making everybody eat crow. Yeah. He's making everybody put their foot in their mouth.
As far as the match itself, I liked it. I went like 3.5 on it, maybe a little longer than I might want to see these two guys go. Like almost 25 minutes was a bit long. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I thought it started a bit boring early, but really picked up by the end. The only thing I didn't really like is I thought in the stretch one where Chase started trying to grab the ropes for the pin. Like, I get that's kind of part of his like Southern heel stick, but like, I just thought it felt weirdly out of place in the match. Like, he was being so vicious throughout, which was good, that I almost felt like, you know, all these comedy rope grab pin spots just felt really out of place. So,
right. And I felt like he was being really mean, and he was doing a lot of out of the ring using the guardrails type stuff that I feel like is, I don't know, since Jay White is in now, and it's kind of they're doing this whole new era thing. It was sort of a new way to be extra vicious that I hadn't seen him do before. And so I felt like that made more sense than the rope grabby type stuff.
Yeah. So I would tell him maybe I docked a quarter star or something, but mm-hmm. It was still good. Good match. Go ahead.
I was just going to throw in the fact that I liked when Chase pinned Juice and then they cut to Milano and he was really happy because he likes Chase.
Yeah. Milano has like the weirdest taste in wrestling. He's like,
he has a loves strange Chase. Collection of boys.
Yeah, he loves Chase Owens and Evil. It's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. He just likes that little light up scythe. He's really excited about it.
And then the main event, Tomohiro Ishii and Yuji Nagata. Ishii wins in 21-34, the vertical brainbuster. This is really, really easy match to just explain. It's just these two guys went out there and fucking killed each other.
Note is dads murdering each other.
Like two old guys fighting over. I don't know, what do old people fight over? I should have had somewhere to go with that point, but I didn't.
I want to say fucking, the. Mm-hmm. Go on.
What, the last like KFC biscuit or something? I don't know.
Yeah, the grill, the like charcoal grill at the cookout. I don't know.
Yeah.
This metaphor has failed. Let us move on.
But yeah, this was awesome. I mean, like they went out there and fucking beat the shit out of each other. It's like everything I love about Japanese wrestling. They just hit each other very hard.
They chucked each other around too.
Yeah. A lot of Germans and backdrops and all that good stuff. I mean, I went 4.5 on this. I thought it was fucking awesome. One of my favorite matches of the year so far, and my second favorite match of the first round so far. There is one match that tops it, but really good match.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree. I thought that, I don't know, they both did a really good job just doing that thing where they get staggered, you know, and it's kind of, Ishii had a very good kind of almost, not that anything about Ishii is flamboyant, but a very overstated, like, you know, kind of staggering around after getting hit. And I like how it's not what people sometimes think it is, which is just two guys slapping each other and like no selling each other. Like they hit really hard and they sell it too. So I like that.
Yeah. And they definitely like the staggers, you know, where they would like take a form and just be like very staggered. Ishii does a good job at that because he's, you know, he looks like he's like unbeatable most of the time. So when he finally like drops to a knee, you're just like, oh shit.
Right, exactly.
And this is also the match where I'm like, wow, like Yuji Nagata at 50 is still this fucking good. And if he like went out there and had like a match with Jun Akiyama from All Japan again, like they could probably have like the match of the year. But
oh yeah. Him in this, and then him in the match with what match was he in the anniversary show with Hanari versus Ishii and Yoshihashi in the tag. I really love both of those matches a lot.
Yeah.
I forget how much I like him until I see him.
He's still so awesome. It's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I wish they bring back those Lionsgate shows is because it used to be a good source of singles matches for him.
Oh yeah.
So like he had a match with Yoshida, like I don't know if it was last year or 2017, but it was awesome.
That sounds great.
But yeah, so really good first night. Mm-hmm. Very positive. Now we have to be, well, I have to be at least a lot more negative on night two. The Saturday show in Aichi, I guess in Nagoya actually. And yeah, this was not great.
No.
I would say watch, honestly, like the undercard tags were way more fun than most of the, than most of the, like there's another really fun Ibushi Naito six man, the eight man tag with like Tanahashi, Makabe, Tenzan, Nagata against Shota, Colt Cabana, Taguchi, and Nakanishi was really fun.
That sounds good.
Evil and Takagi against Sabre and Taka. Those are all good matches. Lots of those.
Yeah.
the New Japan Cup first round matches. First of all, Lance Archer and Toa Hanare. First of all, I mean, Hanari's really good at what he's good at, you know, which is like the standard trade stuff with like the Ishii type stuff. But I thought he looked kind of green here trying to sell the entire match. Like just, I don't know, like he just wasn't very good at taking the kind of one-sided ass kicking this match required. It was just very boring. You know, I'm like 1.5 stars on it. Did not like it.
Yeah, I can't point to anything that I thought was egregious, but I just kind of felt like I didn't know why. If it wasn't for the fact that it was obviously, it's because it's in the cup and that's what the bracket was, I would be like, why is this happening? It didn't compel me.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get matches like that in any tournament, I guess, but like they put them all on one night, basically.
Yeah, so just get them out of the way. And then,
I mean, it looked bad. I mean, this night basically was the one of the four that looked bad on paper. I mean, look, night one to me over-delivered by a lot. Like night one was like, well, this could be okay, but it ended up being awesome. And then night two was like the weakest night by far, and it lived down to that. You know,
yeah, so what are you going to do?
Mikey Nichols and Hikuleo again. It went about 9 minutes. Mikey won with the Mikey Bomb, which is not the greatest name for a finisher, honestly.
Not really. No, I wrote Nichols pins Hikuleo with power bomb of some sort. I didn't know that that was what it was called.
Yeah. It was. I mean, if you really like two dudes forming each other to absolute silence, this is gonna be the match for you. The crowd did not give a shit. Hikuleo is very green again, and I don't know if this is the best way to start out. I think I would have found a different first round opponent for a guy you're debuting than
absolutely
a green tall guy.
Right, exactly. Because I'm not ghetto. I don't know how to book things, but in my mind, I'm like, these are two people who are pretty new. Who you wanna, if you wanna get people to care about them one of these days, you need to build them up. So by putting them against each other, like, I don't know what that accomplishes.
Yeah, it was a very odd decision, but I mean, I guess Mikey, when you look at it, like, he's gonna get his maybe his signature spot will be in the next round with facing. But which we'll get to in a second. I forgot to mention this. I like how they announce whenever there's, they know the next round match when two people, you know, have both won.
Yeah.
They announce what the next one's going to be. And I just remember at the end of night one when they announced Ishii and Taichi, that got this weird, gasp from Cork.
Ah, oh, God.
that was not a good match at all here. And then the semi-main, Will Ospreay and Bad Luck Fale. Another bad match. If you like, again, if you like Fale stepping on Will while Will screams in agony.
Boy, there's got to be somebody out there who gets real excited about that. And this was for them.
Yeah, it was like Will just fucking, Will in a chin lock just screeching.
Oh, like, boy. Yeah, I have in this one too, I hate Will's noises so much. I'm not capable of not pointing out how much I hate the sounds that he makes. I should just get over it. It's my problem at this point.
No, I don't think it is, honestly. and then the other thing I really disliked about this match is, like, Jado was out there from, because he came out with Hikuleo,
right?
And he just kind of stayed out there, and I'm like, look, there's a very simple story, big man against little man. Don't need all this fucking kendo stick Jado interference bullshit.
Yeah, agreed. This
wasn't necessary at all. And then on top of everything else, they fucked up the finish, kind of.
What happened?
So he did that. Fale had him up for the bad luck fall.
Right, and he did that flip under
flippy. He did like a Rana.
He did like a Rana, yeah.
He couldn't hook the leg, and Fale's like entire shoulder was up when they counted the pin. It looked really bad.
Because I got what they were going for with a kind of, like, because he tried to Oscar him earlier and he couldn't get him down because he's so big. So instead, I have to go for something that's going to use his own weight against him. You know what I mean? So I understood the logic of trying to do it that way, but it didn't work out that well.
Yeah, I mean, it made sense. It just they just didn't execute it. So
yeah,
you were going to say something about the kendo stick thing, I think. So go ahead.
No, I don't think so. They're so invested in making Will look really strong, I suppose, that was another kind of, not only does he have to beat the really big guy, but he has to beat the really big guy and his little friend with a stick. Like, that's okay, sure.
I mean, yeah, from what I've heard, like, they were talking about this in the Voice of Wrestling flagship last week. It seemed like the office thinks Ospreay, like, people think Jay White is a replacement for Keddy, and short term, I guess he kind of is. He kind of fit into the same kind of role, but apparently, long-term, the New Japan office thinks Will is the replacement, which I kind of get it, like, as far as appealing to a certain type of Western fan who likes big moves and stuff.
Sure.
But Will needs to fucking, I mean, Will and Kenny have a lot of the same flaws when it comes to selling, but yeah. Will might be even worse than Kenny yeah. when it comes to like the screeching and all that shit. So like, I'm not a big fan, but you know, I mean, it's not like I don't like some Will Ospreay matches. I just think,
yeah. Oh, same.
Yeah. I think he had a rough week here.
just yeah. Between yeah.
The screeching and all that. Mm-hmm. So the main event, Okada and Elgin, 24:06. Okada went with the Rainmaker. This is a match where I saw a lot of people go a lot higher than I did. I went 3.5. It was it was good. It just didn't, you know, there was nothing here that like really had me going crazy, you know.
Yeah. I liked from about halfway through. Okada had a very good, kind of like what I said about Ishii Nagata, had a very good sort of dazed, like for a good 5 minutes, he looked like that meme of SpongeBob as a caveman, wherever the world's like spinning around him, you know? And I appreciated that because it brought a lot of personality to something that otherwise is just kind of like, you know?
Yeah. And Okada, you know, I mean, like the start of it was very much like very, like just pretty good territory, not like... Mm-hmm. great or anything, and then by the time they got to the stretch run, there was also like there were parts of it that also felt like a little slow and awkward, which, you know, I'd have to blame on Elgin, because, you know, for any complaints you can make about Okada, his stretch runs usually are not slow or awkward. They're usually very smooth. Specifically, I'm thinking of like that transition from the burning hammer into the backslide. I just thought like that probably looked a lot better in their heads than than it in reality. So, you know, it was good. There was good stuff, and you know, there's some drama. And I like the focus on the cross face, which we haven't really seen from Elgin in New Japan. So that was a good little mix up, you know, a good thing to try differently from their previous matches, but still not like an elite level match here. Still like a 3.5, but hey, way better than the other three cup matches.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like, was that match worth me watching those first three? Maybe not, but at least it went up a little bit and not down from there. So
it's true. So that brings us to today's show as we're recording.
Yeah.
March 10th. Today's
was really, really good.
Yeah. Today's was up there with the, you know, even better than the first night. And I thought it was still really, really good. Like you said. So you saw a little bit of the undercard, right? You stopped for Tai Chi or something?
I think so. I saw a very little bit of it.
Yeah, so I this is the first show I didn't watch the undercard at all. I just I woke up and I was like, I'm so excited to see
these
New Japan Cup matches.
Right.
I have to skip right to them. So we opened up with Taguchi and Tenzan. Taguchi won in 12:08 with the Kido clutch. First of all, I have to give Taguchi the biggest shout out of all time for the Mongolian headlock he did. Like he does a Mongolian chop like motion. And then just like takes Tenzan down to a headlock. That was so great.
That was amazing.
So, and then Tenzan responded to Taguchi doing the Mongolian chop like pose by doing like the, I don't know, like the hip swivel pose. Like, and then he told Taguchi to suck it.
Where
did that come from?
That is something that I'm going to see in my mind's eye for a long time.
But yeah, this was like the first 5 minutes, I have to say, were very slow and boring as far as like just people stopping each other. But after that, I really picked up, you know.
Tenzan chopped Taguchi's ass at some point.
he did give the Mongolian chop to Taguchi's ass.
Can't be afraid to get in there, man.
And then there was Taguchi kept going to the ankle lock on Tenzan, which is like, given all Tenzan's problems, was like,
oh, dear God.
This is like a work. I'm honestly
I was terrified by that.
And there was a really cool near fall too, where Tenzan kept going to the Anaconda Vice and Taguchi like rolled him up off it, which I thought was cool.
It kind of
like foreshadowed the finish, maybe, because I figured if he was gonna win this, it was gonna be with some kind of flash pan, and that's what ended up happening. This was like 3 stars. I liked it. Good match.
Yeah, very solid.
Then we had Tanahashi and Shota Umino. Tanahashi winning in 16:48, the Texas Clover Hold. I saw people going a lot higher than me on this one. I went 3.25. You know, I thought it was good. Just didn't. It never like, you know, I saw people going like 4 on it, which it never struck me on that level. But you know, Shota did the best he could with that Young Lion moveset. And
he did the thing.
Even broke out the Texas Clover Hold in response to Tanahashi's at one point. But yeah, this was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. I really like to watch Young Lions. Like, I like seeing their matches and to see someone have a really big kind of spotlight on them for a match like this, I thought was really interesting. And just the novelty of that to me alone made me maybe like pay extra attention to it and like it a little bit more. I guess the big moment that I liked was Shota using the Texas Cloverleaf on Tana and everyone's reaction, you know, to that. And then when Tana puts him back in it, it was just so like he really got in there, and he really got in there on that Boston Crab too, in a way that just looked like, ooh, God, you know?
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to stretch this young boy.
But... Right. Exactly. I said something like he's, you know, I know that he's young and he can bounce back. So I can really get in there.
And it really does feel like Shota, you know, this probably should be, if I think it will be, is like his last big hurrah as a Young Lion before mm-hmm. they send him away soon, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a good way to go out. I mean, he's one of the best Young Lions in the past few years. I mean, him and like, I actually might like Narita even more than him. And yeah. that might be a hot take, but I love I just think he's fucking great.
I do.
And Yoshida is right up there too. So uh-huh. like, is a just a great crop of. And then Yota Tsuji and oh god, who the fuck's the other one? What the hell's the other one's name?
Uemura?
Uemura. Yeah. I mean, they both look really good too. You know, very early, but
yeah, it's really exciting to me to see them come in, because you go from I have no idea who this infant is to, you know, like maybe 6 months later I get excited to follow them and see what they'll be doing. And I feel like it's a treat for me to be able to follow someone from the very beginning like that. So
yeah, when you started watching, Show and Yo were still there, right? They were still in Lions, I think.
Mm-hmm. I believe they were.
Yeah.
But so I think when I really got into it, they were already on their excursion, because I saw them here as the Tempura Boys.
Right.
I saw them get absolutely murdered by the Briscoes, which was an experience. And Kawato, I saw his full Young Lion time.
Oh, gotcha. So you saw, so when Kawato comes back, he'll be like the one that you were like, I saw him as a baby.
Yes, that's how I feel. I feel like my baby's coming back.
I mean, it is a really cool feeling. Like I saw, the first one I think went through that as far as watching every single show and then seeing them come back was probably Desperado. So seeing Desperado come back was really cool. And then Aurora after that too.
Yeah.
All right. So the semi-main, Evil and Zack Sabre Jr. This was fucking awesome. Went 4-flat on this one. I thought it was even better than their match from Sapporo. Zack got the win in 15:33 with the hurrah. Another year. Surely this one will be better than the last.
The inexorable march of progress.
We'll lead us all to happiness.
All the happiness, not success. Okay, there we go.
But yeah, this was awesome. You know, first of all, Evil has great chemistry where Evil, you know, Evil's like really good at selling. So, the Zach putting him in the submission holds and stretching him looks brutal. But then he has those like bursts of offense where, you know, he just like he'll blast to Zach with a lariat coming out of the corner or something that just like, you know, just looks really good. So
yeah. And to see him just use his strength to just like burst out of some of those holds, like a kind of just like an explosion like that, I think is a really, really cool thing.
And I like too that they call back to when Zach was getting all those flash pins where Evil, like Zach went for one of them and Evil immediately sat down on it after a one count and almost got the pin himself. That was a really good little callback. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if I had like one big nitpick, I really hated the spot where Evil used red shoes for the magic. Just thought it looked really goofy.
Yeah. I thought that you might say that. I wasn't mad about it, but it was a little bit weird.
Yeah. And the only other complaint I make is maybe him tapping out felt a little anticlimactic. Like I just kind of thought he was going to explode out and keep going. But, you know, it's cool to leave something in the tank. They weren't main eventing and they'll probably face around the G1 again or something. So,
yeah. And I really kind of liked how he put on the octopus stretch It almost looked like he was jumping at Evil, and Evil kind of snatched him out of midair, and then a big cloud, like a big cartoon cloud with arms and legs sticking out of it, came up, and then he was in the octopus hole. Like, it happened very quickly and violently, to great effect.
But yeah, this ruled. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say about Evil and Zach?
Nope. I pretty much agree with you.
Yeah. The main event, folks. Naito and Ibushi. 2038. Ibushi wins the Kamigoye. I have a lot to say about this one. This is incredible. First of all, Naito and Ibushi. I don't think they've never had like a bad match ever. Mm-hmm. I just went back and rewatched the 2015 New Japan Cup semifinal, just because I could barely remember that one. Mm-hmm. And that one was incredible too. So, and you know, that's even pre-LIJ Naito, and
yeah,
you know, goes against the whole this whole crazy idea he didn't used to have good matches before LIJ. But anyway, mm-hmm. This match was incredible. You know, they had a very concise story to tell, which was, you know, we have wrestled each other so many times now in so many big matches that we always know the other's like big signature moves. Right. So they both had to like break out different stuff and do new mm-hmm. stuff to win. And because they just both countered everything the other one tried. Yeah. That was like, you know,
yeah, Ibushi didn't do any moonsaulting, you know.
Well, he tried the golden triangle.
Tried to go for the triangle, Naito, and Naito caught him out and then slammed him right onto the apron, right?
Yeah. Naito was ready immediately and turned it into that mm-hmm. fucking sick neck breaker.
Yep.
Right on the apron.
That was an extremely good moment.
Yeah, and then, you know, the only, my very, very tiny nitpick would be, I would have liked to see Ibushi sell a little more. Like, they went back in the ring, and, like, it felt like they just transitioned right into mm-hmm. an exchange. So that might be my little quarter-star nitpick. Mm-hmm. But then, after that, there was this classic, like, brutal Ibushi strike exchange, and, you know, they were just forming each other and then like slapping each other. And I liked Naito realizing like, this is not going well. Let me just toss him into the ropes and hit my spine buster. Cause
exactly.
This is not working for me. And then they really go all in on the counter story where Naito sets Ibushi up for the top rope reverse Rana. Ibushi knows that's coming. So he like mm-hmm. sends him off on the apron and he starts going for the swan dive German, but Naito knows that's coming and he turns it into this fucking like disgusting, like fire thunder driver on the, like sit out fire thunder driver on the apron.
Yep. That was horrible. horrible.
I thought you were trying to say it was like horrible and awesome at the same time or something.
Yeah.
But which it was, it could have been a tombstone. I don't know. They call it a tombstone in English commentary. We kind of missed the point of impact by mm-hmm. the cameraman, which is, you know, I wish they had not cut right there. That was like a WWE cut. But, you know, what are you going to do? Then they go back in the ring. There's this crazy exchange again where I stopped trying to recap it because it was just like so. And like Ibushi, like he hits his high kick. He hits this crazy lariat with when Naito's like trying to line him up perfectly for the running Destino. And instead he just like mm-hmm. runs forward and kills him. And then when Ibushi has to go to that like sit out J driller thing, which Naito, you know, again doesn't have any expectation of. It's not a move Ibushi used to do, so really like it fit in with the story perfectly of, you know, Naito had counters for all the stuff he knew but mm-hmm. didn't know that was coming, and then Ibushi did the Kamigoye and got the pin. So yeah, I thought this was incredible. I went 4 3/4, my current match of the year. I absolutely fucking loved it. I would put it like right below. There's 2 G1 matches, this the one from last year, the one the year before. Mm-hmm. But I would love to hear your opinion on that. What do you think? Do you like this? Did you like this more than the G1 match last year? More than the one from 2018 or 2017?
I think I'm probably with you. I think I probably liked it the best of them. And it's because of that storytelling aspect of, I know what you're going to do. You know what I'm going to do. We have to pull out new things. And they even showed like Naito goes to do a Destino and Kota kind of catches him in midair and like reverses it. Stuff like that I think is really cool. Every move to me felt really big and important. Yeah. Like I would have believed that any one of the last like five to 10 interchanges could have been the pinfall, you know, which sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. I certainly don't think they were like false finishing as a cheap tactic. It just felt like these two guys are on such a level that everything that they do is devastating to the other person, you know, and the only reason they can go that hard is because they are matched like that.
Yeah, and like there was like a great moment too when I think you kind of touched on this, but like where Naito goes to the desk, you know, and Ibushi like tosses him off and then just like drills him with like this high kick. Mm-hmm. That was just such a cool moment. I mean, this match was just filled with moments like that. And
Yeah. Now, on English commentary, they called Kota's move right before the Kamigoye. They called it a Bomaye. Like,
yeah, that was a Bomaye. Yeah.
So right. Okay. That's what I thought.
He just ran in and hit. I mean, it's just a tribute to Nakamura.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, but yeah, I mean, this was incredible. You know, I think I like that they only went, you know, 20 minutes and 38 seconds. I think. Mm-hmm. Sometimes New Japan main events, they have the tendency to go longer than they need to go. And these two are comfortable enough that they're like, well, if 20 and a half is what we need, then that's all we have to do. We don't have to fucking, you know, extend it out another 10 minutes.
Yeah. And I think the way that they played it made it seem like they didn't have 10 more minutes in them. You know, they played it up as a finale, even though it was a first round match, and you don't want everybody to do that. But in this case, it had to be that way.
Yeah. And they left you wanting more, which is good. Cause I think they're probably going to face each other again for the Intercontinental title at some point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense to not go 35 minutes or whatever, but yeah, so this was awesome. And it closed out a really good show. So good stuff out of the first round, except for that second show. If you're looking for something to skip, you can just skip night two. But nights one and three.
When I on night two, the Elgin versus Okada match, I was kind of joking that I was going to come on here and say, you know, it was really interesting how Okada gave that full solo wrestling clinic, and he was just kind of wrestling out there by himself, because we went to Dayton, Ohio, where Sammy Callahan has that promotion, and he brought Naito there last year, and Naito faced Michael Elgin. And this was right when all of the Michael Elgin, you know, news was dropping.
Yeah.
And everyone in the crowd, when Michael Elgin came out, turned around not to face him.
Yeah.
And I have never, I mean, the boos were not heel boos. They were like, we legitimately don't like you boos. And I feel like his soul probably doesn't live in his body anymore after that. So that
did kind of like really undo his career in America. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was another thing that took the steam out of night too, which is, you know,
yeah,
to me anyway. But let me ask you, because I'm sure I saw you talk about it. Sorry. And I don't remember, who do you have for the whole cup? Like, who do you think's going to win?
I went with Okada.
Yeah. Okay. I just wondered.
Why? Who'd you go with?
I believe I went with Ibushi Okada for the final, and Okada as well.
Yeah, I have Ibushi losing to Zach in the next round. I just think
it'd
be something interesting to do. And then, I don't know. I just feel like they're going to save Tana Zach and Okada Zach. I don't think they're going to do it in the New Japan Cup, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see.
I think I was pretty safe in my picks.
Yeah. But I'm going to look ahead here at what's coming up. First of all, tomorrow we had the rest of the first round matches. I don't want to get super deep in that because a lot of people will have heard this show already before,
right?
You know, by the time they watch those matches. But we have Makabe, Cabana, Yano, Davey Boy, Kojima, and Minoru Suzuki, and Goto Sanada. I'm very hyped for these, especially Goto Sanada and Kojima Suzuki. I think it looks like some underrated matches there, I think, probably. So, but then the second round, we already know a bunch of the matches. So on Wednesday in Zip Arena Okayama, we have Tomohiro Ishii and Taichi, which I'm really psyched for.
Yes.
I mean, that's going to be like your classic style battle there, where the Ishii wants to stand and trade and Taichi wants to rake his eyes and stuff. I have Ishii winning that, but my heart is with Taichi, obviously.
100%. Yeah, agreed.
And then Yoshihashi and Chase Owens, which is, a match I don't think most people would have expected in the second round. But
no, not in the least.
I think Chase is winning. I don't see why you have him beat Juice. And
then not beat Yoshihashi.
Yeah. So I think he's going to hit that package pile driver. I think Chase is going to the quarterfinals now. So,
Yeah, they're really building up that package pile driver as like a game over move. So I absolutely see it happening.
The 14th in Nara, we have two more second round matches. So that'll be on Thursday. And the first one is Okada and Mikey Nichols. I kind of teased before. I think this is like, this spot is set up to let Mikey really get over and have a good match here. But I think Okada obviously is going to win. Right. But Mikey will look good, though. And then Ospreay and Archer. I could see that one going either way. You could either have Archer win and like have him be like a never title challenger. I think that's, you know, a position he could have. But I think more likely Ospreay is going to win this to like go with this whole giant killer thing where he beats five.
Yeah, I was going to say they really are enjoying having him go and take down the really big guys. And so that would be a perfect opportunity if you want to do more of that.
And then that would also set up Okada Ospreay in the quarterfinals, which I think is a good quarterfinal match, a rematch from last year's anniversary show. So, and then the last second round match, shall we know matches for now, is March 16th back at Korakuen. So we have Tanahashi and Taguchi, which is really fun. That's a really fun match. I'm excited for that one.
Oh, absolutely.
And then Ibushi and Zach. So, I mean, Tanahashi's obviously beaten Taguchi. Ibushi and Zach, that could go either way.
I love their match in the G1. Love
Yes, their match in the G1 was, that was like a 4¾-star match for me. I love that match too. But yeah, so if they can even approach that level, that'll be a really awesome match.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see him again.
I think Zach gets the upset special there. I think he's going to win here and beat Ibushi for the second straight year and then set up a rematch with Tanahashi, which, you know, the rematch from last year's finals, where I think Tanahashi will finally beat him, but could be wrong. Could be a Bushi wedding, but I just have a gut feeling that Zach is going to pull that one out.
Yeah. I mean, if this was before Bushi's committing, I suppose I definitely would think that he was going to lose to Zach here. And I guess I just don't know how much I believe things are going to be accelerated for him, you know, in his path to big, big matches and title contention.
Yeah, that's a good point.
See if he wins here or not.
So that will be Ibushi and Zach. That's the March 16th Korakuen on a week from, or 6 days from now, on next Saturday. And then the final second round show is also at Korakuen next Sunday on March 17th. And that'll be the second round matches we do not yet know as we record this. So that wraps up the second round. So that's what we have coming ahead. Some good stuff. Very exciting. And really enjoying the New Japan Cup so far. Hope it keeps up.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I was able to follow it super closely last year, but I should be able to this time. And I'm really glad to, because I've always been a big, like, I followed the G1 for several years. And so I'm excited to see. I like tournaments a lot. I'm very much a sucker for. So. Yeah, exactly. So this is fun.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of tournaments. Anything where you get like, you know, a breakup to what you might call like more monotony, you know? Like that,
right.
That's a big, like, you know, not to compare WWE too much, but like that's a big problem, I think, with the current WWE, where it just feels like everybody's wrestling each other for no reason.
Absolutely.
I think they could definitely do more. Like, if they did more tournaments, it'd probably be better. But then I hear they do tournaments occasionally and they're bad. So fuck
I can't remember the last tournament that I really can't pay attention to from them.
There was a tag title contender tournament. Maybe that was the last
one. I like brackets so much, you would think that maybe I would pay attention to sports, but I don't. So
it's funny. Okay, so we got some questions here. Let's get into them. At Alphonse 0079, will Chase ever get in good shape? really hard shot there, poor Chase. I like Chase. I'm not going to comment on his physical. And also, if you've ever met me, I have no room to comment. So,
same.
Yeah, Chase, buddy, you're in better shape than me. At AWQ 1985, what's your personal choice for the G1 Dallas main event? It's a cool question. What do you think?
I was trying to think about this earlier, and I truly don't. I don't know what to tell you. What do you think?
I mean, you really need to see the blocks, you know, and
right.
I mean, they can't do Okada Naito. They have to save that for the Dome next year.
Yeah.
You can't. I was gonna pull
out something. Go
on. Yeah, I mean, like Okada Ibushi maybe, but I think they're gonna save that for Budokan. So.
Who's gonna? I think America. They want to put a white guy on.
Yeah, I hope. I hope they don't. Honestly,
yeah,
I hope
they don't
be too Japanese. I mean, I would do. Thinking about this one more, I would either do Tanahashi Ibushi or Tanahashi Naito. I think those are both matches they haven't done in a little while, but they're mm-hmm. both really big matches. So
yeah.
And I think they both have a lot of history, and they both would be big. You know, either a rematch from last year's G1 final or a match we haven't seen since the 2017 IC title feud. So yeah, I would go one of those two.
I can see either of those. I can see Jay White. I don't know against who, just because I'm always thinking they want to book Bullet Club related main events in the US, but yeah. I don't know.
If you have to do a Jay White one, maybe White and I don't know, because White and Okada and White and Tanahashi have both been done a lot.
Yeah.
And then it feels like they're saving White Ibushi and White Naito.
White Ibushi, White Naito.
Yeah.
So then if you run through all those guys, who you have left that would be viable for like the main event of that show?
Yeah. I mean, you could do White Naito or White Ibushi, but I just think it feels like you're saving that for something bigger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Taichi is my answer.
Taichi against anybody. Thomas, who was on here two weeks ago at Wrestling Ratings. Who is Naito's best opponent? It's a good question. Ooh,
yeah.
I mean, there's two guys I'm thinking of immediately. Mm-hmm. One of them he just wrestled.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have the memory of the goldfish, and I just watched Naito Ibushi, so I'm like, oh, obviously Ibushi.
But I think it's between Ibushi and Kenny Omega. Because I think...
Sure, yeah.
Again, I might have the rep of a Kenny hater, I think Naito and Kenny... All 3 years in the G1, those all three incredible matches.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Ibushi, though. I think just
by
hand.
Yeah.
I really do. I really do love those Kenny matches, but I really love the Ibushi ones too.
Yeah, so. I'm trying to think back to the Naito matches that made the biggest impressions on me, and I do think they are the Ibushi matches.
Yeah. So it's really close though. Those are definitely the two. Okada, you know, I think the Okada is an underrated one, where I think. That Dome match from 2014, that just the problem with that one just has no crowd heat, but like it is a really good match if you go back and watch it. And they have a really good one at Korakuen in 2012 too, right after mm-hmm. Okada comes back. So that's an underrated one. I'm trying to think of some more options that people might not.
Yeah, me too.
I mean Shinsuke, they had some really good ones. That match. That G1 final. I mean, Tanahashi, they had that entire series and the G1 final again and some other matches pre-LIJ. So Tanahashi should be up there too. But
yeah. Who outside of the like...
Oh, big four, duh. I guess, you know what? We're missing mm-hmm. one that's, I think, really obvious too. Ishii.
Uh-huh. Ishii, yeah.
Yeah,
I get that for sure.
I like the Naito Ishii matches even better than the Kenny Ishii matches. So
oh, yeah?
I think they have a couple in 2014 where... Ishii beats him for the NEVER title, and then where they face each other again in the New Japan Cup, and then again at Invasion Attack that year. Those are all really good, but especially the one where Ishii wins the NEVER title is the best of the three, probably.
Yeah, I want to go back and do some watching on that, because I can't, I'm sure I've seen them, but I can't really remember anything particularly, but just the concept of Ishii versus Naito, I can fully get behind.
Yeah, the 2016 matches too, the New Japan Cup mm-hmm. quarterfinal, and... You know, I have a very vivid memory of like watching that match like on the bus that morning and like just being deadly nervous over, because Naito at that point, he had lost to Ishii a bunch before that match, and like just being like, oh my God, is he going to lose to him again and end his New Japan Cup here? And then he pulled it out and went on to win the cup that year, of course. But yeah, that match was incredible. That was like a Korakuen main event. And then they faced each other again at Dontaku that year, which is Naito's one IWGP heavyweight title defense, which is really good. So that's another really good one for Naito. So let me just rank them. Ready? Here's a top five.
I'm ready.
Going with Ibushi number one, mm-hmm. Kenny number mm-hmm. two.
Yeah.
Ishii number three.
Okay.
Tanahashi four. Okada five.
All right. I'll sign
that's
that.
My top five. Okay, let's see. Next question from at Downward Spirals. What is it about Japanese wrestlers that makes them capable of great matches at advanced ages compared with Western wrestlers? It's a good comparison. I assume what he's sort of like comparing it to is like, you know, like maybe the main event of the fucking WWE Saudi show, which everybody hated.
Yeah.
Like,
I didn't watch that, but yeah.
I didn't watch it either, but that Hunter Undertaker match I heard everybody hated from Australia. Yeah. And I think part of it is just like in general, you know, not to get very like cultural here, but like maybe I think in Japan it's more acceptable to age, you know, like there's like this respect for older people. It's okay for a guy to go out there and not be, you know, like Yuji Nagata does not look like he did when he's 30, obviously.
And that's okay. Nobody expects him to.
Whereas like in America, it's almost like, well, Undertaker has to look like the old Undertaker and Triple H has to look like the old Triple H. They have to do the exact same stuff they used to do. I think it's just a very different mindset that lets like the Japanese wrestlers just go out there. And it's not even just Japan too, because I think Mexico, like the older luchadors have more of a, I don't know, like there's more respect for them than there is in America. And like, there's more like, I don't know, maybe I'm like rambling a little bit, but I just think it's like it's a cultural thing. And also just like not trying so hard to, you know, show that you're instead like embracing the fact that you've aged versus like trying to show that you have not aged.
Right. Exactly. I think you're right on the money. I really do. And I think sort of tied into that would be, so it's okay to wrestle a match that reflects the fact that you are not 25 or whatever anymore. So it's not as hard on your body. And then also, I mean, the schedule of US wrestlers tends to be really insane. Not that it's not for Japanese wrestlers, but I'm just thinking about if you're the Undertaker and you wrestled every week for God knows how many years, you know what I mean? Like it's to expect you to hold up through all that in the same way that someone who is in more multi-mans and is not in matches as frequently, like over the course of a career, I think it builds up.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've heard like, you know, there's just always this comparisons, like what, you know, WWE fans will be like, oh, they do all these dangerous spots in New Japan matches and blah, 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 which is true, but not what I think is really overrated is how, the WWE style is way more dangerous than people give it credit for now too. But what I've heard, like I've heard wrestlers talk about this, it is easier to like peak for one big match, knowing that you're doing mostly undercard tags before it. And then maybe either doing tags or even getting like time off between tours afterwards than it is to constantly be on this fucking grind. You know, I mean, Roman Reigns just talked about this, the other day where
he said there should be like an off season, right?
Yeah, which he said that would help everybody, like, you know, he said the wrestlers and the writers, and I'm sure that's true.
Yeah, but, and the traveling too, because they're always touring, as opposed to, I mean, they do tour in Japan, but they don't a lot of the country. Time too.
The way it's smaller. I mean,
well, heard, it is too. Also,
I've heard
that it's a smaller country. I'm not sure that's true.
I heard that was like a big reason why Kota Ibushi didn't sign with AEW. Was he really hates like getting on planes.
Oh boy.
And if you hate getting on planes, then you're
that's
gonna
not the life for you.
Yeah, you're not gonna like American wrestling, really.
Nope.
So, you know, it's a big ass country here. You have to take planes everywhere. Honestly.
Yeah, he seems to have trouble with that. So
I mean, he, you know, Japan touring, it's like you get on the bus, you know, maybe you work, you come home, you work a bunch of coworking dates. It's just a lot different. So.
So I think that's probably part of it as well.
What do they even get on planes for? Maybe, I mean, obviously Okinawa, maybe Sapporo. I don't even know if they take a flight to Sapporo. Maybe they do. Okay. So our last question here at RBX 2000. Given that you enjoyed Taichi Honma, can I ask what you thought of the opening 5 minutes, KO spot, shove ref chair shot, count out spot, and why you liked it? I thought it was horrendous, and I'm genuinely curious. I don't know. really putting me on the spot. I like Taichi's whole stick. I like the heel thing. I think it really stands out in New Japan. I don't want like 50 people doing it because it would not stand out anymore. But I thought there was a great little tease. I thought he was being an asshole. I mean, that's what that's his character.
Right. That's my answer too, is that I don't have any other explanation other than I liked it because it was Taichi being himself.
Also, it was 5 minutes of an 18-minute match, and like,
yeah.
if that's like, I feel like this is also like the Tai Chi haters moving the goalpost, because there are plenty of opening 5 minute stretches and long New Japan matches that aren't very good, and people have no trouble giving those matches, you know, high star ratings and stuff. So,
yep,
you know, it wasn't the highlight of the match, but the rest of it was quite good. So there you go. Yeah, one other question. Is Red Shoes reffing the biggest match of Shota's career not a conflict of interest? It kind of is, right? I thought of that too. I'm like, this is pretty awkward, buddy, for your dad to be here being like, do you want to tap out, son? like, it might not just like conflict of interest, it might just be awkward.
But I feel like that's a very psychological like allegory, because you're fighting against your kind of like mentor, but then also with your actual dad there. Yeah. Like, that's a lot for a young man of, you know, 21 or however old he is.
Because Red Shoes, like, he does do that really exaggerated, like, do you want to tap out, like, motions and stuff. And it's like, he's doing that to his son. It's very, very, like, do you want to give up, son?
Son, are you going to give up, or are you going to make me proud? What's it going to be?
Very, like, aggressive. but yeah, I guess it kind of is a conflict of interest. But Red Shoes, to his credit, did not try to screw Tanahashi or anything. So
very impartial, very good. Yeah. I would expect nothing less from him.
Yeah. So I guess that will do it. Thank you for sending us questions. You can always do that on our Twitter account if you're not aware. I also want to send a special thank you to a few people who reviewed and rated us on iTunes. I asked for that on the Omakase Twitter feed, and a few people came through, because I got one very negative review on iTunes. Like, I wish like it would tell you the date, but I got some guy giving me one star and telling me that I'm very disrespectful to WWE wrestlers or something.
Oh dear.
And I greatly overrate Puro, which is a very odd
wrestling Omakase.
It's a very odd critique to me. It's like it'd be like if I went to listen to like Lucha Talk, which is a podcast, and be like, these guys really like Lucha. I don't understand. But yeah, it's a very, very interesting review. But like, I asked them to come on there and like bump that review. I mean, that review was really funny, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I made someone that angry. But I was like, could you guys come and bump that off my page? And a bunch of people came through with like 5-star reviews, which I really appreciate. Some guy did ask me to review more FIP, which I don't think I'll be doing, but thank you for the review. So I wanted to give them a quick shout out. And of course, if you also want to review and rate us on iTunes, you can do that, unless you're that weirdo who is still listening, which
he's still listening even now, and he's really mad that you've said this, and he's gonna review again to say, I don't like this podcast. He made fun of me specifically.
But so thank you, Lorian, for coming on. Do you want to plug your Twitter or anything?
If you should care to, you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Diving Meteora. No spaces, no underscores. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't have anything else to plug, but I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. It was a great time. And of course, you can always follow us on Twitter at WrestleOmakase. Wrestling would not fit. And we'll be back next week. Probably more New Japan Cup stuff. I haven't quite figured it out yet, but you know, probably more of the, I mean, this is really like, there's just so many fucking shows. I don't know what else I'm going to have time to watch between now and then.
Yeah, I definitely watched on a much more condensed schedule than I probably usually would have, because I wanted to be ready for this. So,
yeah. So we'll get through all that and talk more New Japan Cup next week. And then the week after that, it'll be really crazy, because there's New Japan Cup, and then there's also like a big All Japan show and a big DDT show. So we'll probably try to talk about all of that too. But more fun times. So until then, thank you as always for listening, and we will see you next time.
Thank you.
In a world of 1 million wrestling podcasts, there is a new shining star with great interviews, analysis, music, and me, Matt Coon, on Total Engagement. Go to any podcast platform to listen today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.